Trill Static 2. It's time. Took us a while to get to this moment. That's what the fuck is all about. Making a moment. Let's go, Static. We right back at it, the OG and the show off, kicking the dough off of the hinges, heating up the booth until it singes, getting right back to the business, for late night binges with syringes and Bentleys, Beamers and Benzes. We ain't friends, bitch, we brothers from other mothers, dedicated to angels that float above us. It's a rap for you motherfuckers like Christmas.
What's good, everybody? It's your man, Brother Red, in the building, and you know we with the man. The Docs. What's up, Docs?
What's up, Brother Ray? It's good to be back with you, brother.
All right, man. Let's get right back in it, man. 2023. How's hip hop been looking to you, man? Like, what you feeling?
Honestly, Brother Ray, it's baffling to me. I'm glad a lot of the OGs are coming back with music. I wish they would keep their 80s style. I know it's 2023, but I wish Nas would have kept his flow from the 90s on his new music.
Now you specifically Snoop, talking about Magic, Snoop, all of Magic these guys. 2?
Now, I will tell you an album that I have been listening to that I like, and that is Be Legit, D-Boy. Album.
Right.
I'm liking it. He kept true to his Vallejo West Coast roots, and I'm liking that. You know, he's not worrying about 2020. He's not worrying about the year. He's bringing the youngsters in to represent the year, but he's still staying with his old, the click style. You know what I mean? And I like that about Be Legit.
Word.
You're getting them new young kids, the young rappers to represent 2023 on your songs. I like that.
Okay. All right.
You didn't try to, and you gave Nas a 6.6 out of 10. So I had to give you a little, I went and listened to the podcast. I chewed on it for a couple of days, and then I wouldn't put on Esco. And everything you said pretty much was spot on.
Well, you know.
The songs, it should have been an EP instead of an album. If it was an EP, it probably have been a classic.
Yeah, like it would have been, and it would have been, you know, because I guess King's Disease 4 is coming out. Now, all the King's Disease, for me, they've all been great albums. I'm not going to say every single one of them is a classic, because it's not. But they've all been solid albums, you know, got to be 4 to 4.5, even a little bit higher, depending on, you know, what your, you know, kind of preference between the three. So, you know, out of those three, you know, for me, in the middle or right before King's Disease 3, you know, Magic came in now. See, that was Nasty Nas, like what you're talking about, like that 90s, like when he first came out. That was, that Magic was Nasty Nas. So I guess part of me when I was reviewing it and I first listened to it, because I listened to it three times before I reviewed. You know, I was like, it's not Nasty Nas. Now, he got into Nasty Nas. He got there. And that was the thing.
Yeah.
I guess for me, I was just, you know, those first, you know, a little bit too much experimental stuff with the beats and stuff. Now, like I said, that song with 50 Cent, I love the beat. Nas's verses were dope. But 50, man, like, you know what? 50's not really... Even though he's from New York, he sounds more like a Southerner or a West Coast type of rapper, because he does better with like stuff with harmonies and melodies versus just some strictly boom bap stuff. You know what I mean? And man, like I said, I'm gonna say it. And I'll say it. I don't care who disagrees. For that song in particular, I would have recruited the Game. The Game would have ate that up. And every song the Game has with Nas is dope. Like, they don't, like him and Nas, every single song they have together, whether it's been on a Nas project or a Game project, they're all dope songs. They're not like garbage. You know what I mean? They're all dope. So, and for whatever reason, Game, when he gets with Nas, because that's one thing Game is pretty good at is he can mimic cats. You know, now he has his own flow, but when you listen to, like, you know, when you listen to Game, hell, he sounds like a West Coast Nas. You know what I'm saying? So yeah. For that song, that should have been him and Nas. And then the following song, which was more melodic, and the theme of the song was talking about, you know, the ladies and stuff, that's more of 50 Cent's alley anyway. And 50 would have, yes. And I think, yes. I was like, you know, 50 would have killed that track, because that's right up his alley. You know what I mean? And then the other song, I would have said, you know, either just keep the Nas verse and just leave it there, or get like the Game. The Game to me would have been perfect for that record.
Yes,
but that could have made it an album, because then you could have had at least 8 songs. And if you wanted to throw that weak ass intro in there, that at least slots, you know, because I think for albums, it's got to hit like so many minutes. I think that's what it, you know, a requirement of albums has got to hit like 45 minutes or something, maybe. But yeah, I thought the intro was weak. Come on, man. Like that weirdo music with Don Magic Wand, like that don't even make sense. Like, I don't, you know, that to me, Nas, Don Magic Wand talking about pimp shit, you know, like, yeah, it didn't really, you know. And the following songs, you know, like I said, they were kind of weak. Now, everybody on the internet seems to like that Motion song. What did you think about that song?
I mean, it was decent. I'll give it a 7, but I guess when I hear Nas, like you say, I hear Nas with certain people. I hear Nas's flow. I'm thinking of him as a certain way, and I'm trying not to change my view of Nas. You know what I mean? Because back in my 95 years, Nas was really the only thing that I listened to besides Pac and, you know, Outkast, you know what I mean?
Yeah, they were staples. They had certain, you know, yeah, certain staples. Yeah, so Wu-Tang Clan, Nas, like they was always in heavy rotation. Like there's all, you know, you're gonna listen to some Nas throughout the day. It's like in heavy rotation.
You know you was. So that's why I'm trying to, it was cool. I just like, I like the Nas with the Lauryn Hill.
Oh.
I like that track.
Yeah, well, it's like the, because he's older now, so he's introspective. And it's still, like you said, it's just a positive vibe. It's, you know, it's the same way, and that's the thing about Nas is why, you know, like, you know, I think it's kind of universal that it's like, yeah, man, he picked up where Rakim had started it, and he just took it to another. And that was the thing about Rakim. He, even though, you know, he could talk about gangster stuff and be hard, but the thing with Rakim was, is it had a positive vibe. It was about upliftment. And that's what separates Nas from the Jay-Z's and a lot of these guys, because he doesn't feel like a selfish rapper. Like, he doesn't feel like he's doing this just for wealth. He's like, I know I'm going to get money, and I, you know, I'm going to invest what I do in the other stuff, but I do this because I love the art, and I love the people that I'm making this art for. Like, I love my people.
Yes.
I make music for my people, the upliftment of my people. And that's something that is very rare for rappers that are considered the best of the best. Like, people say, well, Biggie's the best. I can't put him up there because Biggie wasn't rapping about no upliftment of nobody but himself. You know?
But himself,
you can't
right.
say that about Pac. We know what Pac was about. That's why Pac is universal. Like, you can go anywhere, any corner of the world, and somebody gonna know something about Pac. You know, Jay-Z's not like that. He doesn't, you know, he does is bandwagon. He'll jump on, like, Mos Def and Common them when they was kind of hot, when they was rolling with Chappelle, then he wants to jump in to be part of the quote unquote. That's the problem. Now, now you're woke, so to speak. You know, now you want to rap about water and all this type of stuff. You know,
yeah. Yep.
And Jay-Z even referenced himself. He's like, you know, I haven't been rapping like Common since, you know, some reference basically talking about, like, Common Sense don't, like, Common the rapper don't make money, so I can't rap like Common because it don't make sense. You know what I mean?
Right, yeah.
You know, and so he's explaining, like, hey, I got to get them bagged. You know, and it's like, well, you'll get the bag at all costs, even to the detriment of your people. You put bad juju out there. You know what I mean? You ain't putting a lot of positive juju in the stuff that you do put out that's positive juju. We can tell that's so commercial. That's not necessarily heartfelt. That's just, you know, basically so you can get spins on the radio.
That's it. And you better sing it and rap it like you mean it.
Yeah, like it's not like you just, you know, and so, and you know, and I think we can all kind of figure out which ones are for the radio and this and that. So now for me, man, this year has been kind of meh. We opened with Trill Static 2. That was Bun B with Static Selector. It's a compilation album with those two guys. They got a lot of guest appearances. I love this album. I bang this all the time. The other album that I want to give a little shout out to before we move on, I'm going to go ahead and pull up a little bit. And here, let me cue it up. And we'll get into it just a little bit. The proud underground that they leave out the discussion. Qualifying. Here we go. Rest in peace to Bobby Hutton and all the legacies of what it seemed like I'm in touch with. The proud underground that they leave out the discussion. Call it finders keepers and then see how y'all adjust. And I was lucky where I never had to look for. It was like a lullaby before daddy took off. Singing how we got the free Huey. We got the free Huey. The vision bright enough where you could probably see it through me. With my fists up in the air, same shade as Lil Sambo. Reach for my umbrella, I was raised to let a cannon blow. Pancakes for everyone who need to get their plate filled. Pistols in the kitchen for whoever feel the weight still. Younger me, thought that the world is under me. And to stand above it is to never stand comfortably. White man come for me, no I ain't the typical 10-point program, honor it like it's biblical, all praise due here and know what to do if they bring Charles James through here, the shit I overheard knew the code, just like how we get to know a bird, the revolution wasn't televised but it was spoken word, and I heard every part of it, bravery and all the worry at the heart of it fully loaded clips, no bargaining admiring the beauty within all of it, and Alton looked at me like, tell me what you thought of it.
Right. The 10-point program. Number one, we want freedom. We want the power to control the destiny of our black community. Number two, we want full employment for our people. Number three, we want an end to the robbery by the white man of our black community. Number four, we want decent housing fit to shelter human beings. Number five, we want education for our people.
All power to the people, cause your flag on the scale meant y'all power wasn't equal. Taught to take it back, shoot you down to help me reach you. Stories ain't alone, you be bound to get the sequel. Stand and know the risk, yet still.
All right, now see, that came from Sky Zoo and the other guys. And it was, the album is called The Mind of a Saint, a Soliloquy. And it's based off of the FX television series Snowfall. And so he wrote an entire album in first person as if he was Franklin. And he literally starts from season one and all the way up to the current season. And he tells Franklin's story through his rhymes. Dope ass project. Dope ass
project. Who is that, Brother Ed?
Now, if you've been listening, I'm going to have to get on you because I have big up Sky Zoo in previous episodes of No Vultures. Rapper Sky Zoo. Yeah. Yeah, check him out. New York MC. He's really, honestly, he's wrote a lot of rhymes for your favorite rappers. He's a ghost writer extraordinaire. But he also has his own shit, you know what I mean, where he's rhyming, but he's an independent MC, but he is dope. And for me, that's the best album I've heard this year. By far, hands down. Okay. I don't think it's really getting no traction anywhere where people are really bigging it up. Everybody's talking about that Big Mike shit. I was like, whatever, dude. I thought that was weak. As soon as I seen that shit with Young Thug, I was like, okay, that's some bullshit. I don't need to see that shit. You know what I mean? You up there with this nigga, then you want to throw Chappelle up on there. I'm like, man, it even made me question Chappelle. Why would you even put your face and be associated with some shit with a motherfucker like Young Thug? I'm sorry. I'm sorry. Nah, I'm not for anybody who's all about, you know, I've been behind killing a whole lot of black people. So I don't want to hear shit you motherfucking ass got to say, period. I'm not endorsing you. I'm not getting behind you. Now, rap music is rap music. But when it's evident that, you know, you're not doing like the old shit, like Dr. Dre said, hey, we can talk about rapping on the microphone. You know, you talk about killing this and that, but you got to be a stupid motherfucker to actually go do it. You know, you got to be a dumb motherfucker to actually go get a gun and go murder somebody and think that there won't be no repercussions or you don't deserve none. If it's like, you know, just unjustifiable homicide. Oh, he's my enemy. Let me go kill him because we talk some shit. Or he's got a rag, a different color, all that. Like you said, you got to be a dumb muff. Ultimately, you know, if you don't value life that much, I don't know what to tell you. No disrespect to anybody out there that's doing your thing. Hey, do your thing, brother. But you know what? You're killing your own people. You cannot ask other black people to respect that. Any respectable other black people, you cannot ask us to respect killing our own. I ain't mad at you for having your guns. I'm not mad at none of that. What I'm saying is I could never respect killing your own people.
Facts.
For no reason other than you, they on this block, I'm on this block, that type of shit. I'm sorry. That's like Willie Lynchism type shit, where motherfuckers that have not been unwound to not hate your own people.
Facts. Major facts.
So, but yeah, man, it's been kind of a mid-year, man. Like you said, you know what's funny is all the new cats that are going on tour, they've had to cancel a lot of their dates. In a lot of these cities, there aren't like, they're not big metropolitan areas in the sense of 500,000 plus. You know, it might be 150,000, 200,000. They can't sell out these places.
They see, and that's the problem with these new age rappers. J. Cole, what's my other guy's name from the South?
I'm gonna say something.
He ain't made an album in about 5 to 7 years.
Well,
what was his name?
Well, you have Kendrick, J. Cole, and Drake are like supposedly like out of the generation of
this guy was a positive guy from where's he from?
Are you talking about B.O.B. from B.O.B. that was down with T.I. them?
I know B.O.B. with T.I. No, this was a dark skinned dude, brother, positive brother. What was his name?
Are you talking about not Big Crit? You talking about J. Electronica?
Big Crit.
Are you talking about J. Electronica? What?
J. Electronica too, but what them guys learned was they hit the small hole in the wall historic scenes and sold out. They didn't want to go sell out the arenas. They hit them small 10 city tours, hit like the Blue Note, things like that, build your following, and then go try to sell out the Toyota Center or the Chicago United Arena. But you can't just think you're going to go on tour and sell out an arena. Can't do that. You're not Future.
Yeah, yeah. You know, or you're not Drake. You know, you're not that level.
You're not Drake.
Yeah. There's only like, as far as like, and that's another thing now, a lot of people are like, okay, it's been a down year for hip hop. There's only been like one album, I guess, that's got like number one on Billboard or whatever. Now also, they say that the ladies are taking over. There's a wave. Mm-hmm. Now,
trash.
And why do you say that, like, with the wave of the ladies, we don't want to be like, oh, we're misogynist and we're just hating on the female rappers. Why
I
is
am.
It that you feel like,
I am.
It, like, why the hate? Why the hate?
All of that.
Why? Tell
because
us why.
We had disrespectful to Roxanne Shanté, Queen Latifah. Disrespectful. I don't want to see you shaking and twerking every song. I don't care about you being a bad bitch. I don't want to rip you out the plastic. All y'all have kids. But
facts.
Then you're backdoor and say you don't want your kids listen to your music. What? And then what's worse, how are you men ghostwriting music for women? That's kill it. I don't understand none of that.
Now,
but
I have a question for you. Do you think that this new MC, or she's not an MC, she's a rapper, definitely not an MC, but she's from New York. I think she's real cool with Nicki Minaj. This Ice Spice, do you think she's an industry plant? Because honestly, she came out of nowhere. Like, you know, even like these little young cats, like they'll have a little following or something. I don't recall her. It was like she just, you know, now I'm not the biggest TikToker or nothing, but did she put out any music before she just put out something on social media and then boom, you know, she's like the next it person in rap? Like, do you think that's some industry plant shit?
Yes, you know it is. all of these imposter, fake, non-writing female rappers out here. It's ridiculous. All of this is ridiculous, man. These, I'm not going to say it. Now, it's just terrible. Ladies, music's terrible.
Remember, ladies, the docs are saying this. I'm not getting on all y'all, but to some level, I concur. I do concur to a point. Yes, I do concur that, like, it's gone over the top. Like, what's this one girl? She said, what, coochie pink, booty hole brown?
That's what I'm saying. My child, listen. I'm not mad at whatever you want to make. That's what you want to make. But if I got to listen to it and my kid has to switch somewhere somehow, your kids do too. That's only fair.
Yeah.
And these record executives, they wrong for this. They know what they're doing. They wrong.
Well, you they're know, very what, wrong. What thing is, some of this, though, is they'll cash in, these record executives will cash in off of the wave. Like with that chick with the booty hole girl, I think, you know, she just dropped some stuff, you know, independent or whatever. But then it, once it gets viral or whatever, yeah, that's when the, you know, the 360 deal comes and all that type of stuff where they want to come in. Yeah. And since you got a little following, depending on the level you're following, you know, they'll give you some upfront money so you can stunt and floss a little bit. So they can basically, because they're going to recoup all that anyway. But, you know, they'll use you.
That's how they're going to get a Nicki Minaj song or a Cardi B song, mm-hmm, or Megan Thee Stallion song.
Yeah. They'll get one of the top girls to do a song with your remix of your song.
Yeah, that's it. That's it. And it's true. What?
Well, I tell you what. Now, there is one female rapper, but she's not from the States. And that's Little Sims. Now, there's a couple female rappers that are dope. I like Reverie. She's a Latina female out on the West Coast. She's got a pretty good album this year. Che Noir, she's dope.
I like her. I like her.
Little Sims, now, to me, she's the coldest rapper for me, female. Like, Little Sims, I'm putting up her in the conversation as a top MC, like top five right now for the current MCs. I'm not talking about, like, our necessary, you know, that generation. I'm talking about for the MCs coming up right now. She's in that pocket where she is a competitor of the Drakes and the J. Cole's and all. And you know what? I'm going to say it. She can wrap circles around all y'all suckers. Like, I have no problem saying Little Sims is the best rapper of this generation, like the little current for 2023. You know, I ain't saying like she's better than Drake all time or whatever, but I'm saying for right now, 2023 and for 2022, I would say either her or Skyzoo, but, you know, that girl's cold.
I got a question
Little
for you,
Sims
Little
is
Pitt.
Cold.
I got a question
But she's
for
from
you.
Great Britain. So a lot of cats, we don't, you know, unless you in. And shout out to our folks in Europe. Yeah, we see y'all. Big shout out to the fan base in Europe. Appreciate the love.
I got a question for you now, for the fan base. I need y'all to send Brother Red on this podcast 15 female songs from 2015 to now.
Non-booty shake. That's not booty shake, and that is dope, but it ain't just all about the booty shake and coochie and all that.
Yes.
And that's the caveat. Don't send booty shake songs. Yeah.
And I'm going to do it as well. I know I ain't going to be able to, but I'm going to try my best.
You will, but it's not going to be you'll have to dig deep. That's an episode we need to do. I need to teach people how to get into their algorithm.
See what you just said, Brother Red? Why I got to dig deep? All the music on this airways, why I got to go dig
because,
deep?
Because you know why?
Because,
and I tell you what, we're up against it. We are going to answer that question, and then we will pivot into something I know you've been itching to talk about. We're going to get into Aquaman. Yeah, baby. We're going to get talking about Aquaman and the Chair King. And
I'm
believe
it.
And that brother, the Bama Blaze. As soon as we come back.
I'm black and I'm proud. Yo, can I talk to you for a second? Nah, just real quick. And yo, we fast from the swine and read books together. Enjoyed carnivals, went to the flicks and leathers. Twin flames, we struggled in the rain and became best friends, lovers. All of this is ordained. When I needed you, you needed me. We both needed each other. We both searching for peace. Laying on my side while you watch me sleep. With tears running down your face, your stare was deep. Fast forward, we both got mixed emotions. We both got love, but the seal was broken. And your mom still love me, yo. I get the family invites. I hit her some time just to say hello. I may regret I made the wrong decision. Felt the love slipping away, you refused to listen. If it's meant, we circle back and complete the mission. Please forgive me if I scarred you, baby, this feels different.
You've been the best at times to walk me through my darkest days. What must I turn around? I ask myself. This just ain't fair, so hard to bear. It's not fair. I'm not really sure these days. I've stashed some memories to ease the pain. You've been dear to me, that's why it's hard.
See, that's how we answer my man Doc's question. Because he was like, well, tell him about digging. What'd you say about why do we have to do what?
You say big?
No, digging. You said that why do we have to, with all this music coming out, why do we have to dig so deep for the good stuff?
Oh, yes, sir. Why?
Because if especially independents, now, they might, you know, they get their little ad advertisements and stuff, but they're not paying, you know, especially to get put on these playlists. Like, they might be paying, but they ain't paying like the big boys. And the big boys own all the outlets. You know what I mean? They're all part of some type of damn conglomerate. They're all linked together.
Facts.
You know, so when you get these playlists, man, this ain't playlists that are actually curated by someone who's like in this, like, I'm a pop music person, and I'm gonna get the best of the best. I'm a country and western person, and I'm gonna get the best of the best joints. Or, you know, say for hip hop, like if I'm a Drake person, and that's, you know, that's my lane. Like, that person ain't curating your Spotify playlist,
right?
And
yeah,
the playlist that they, yeah, put out, like when they put out, this for this, or this is the hot playlist, or whatever. These cats ain't nobody that's actually like really curating it, and like I'm getting the best of the best. I'm really digging it up in there. So that's why I'm saying it's up to people to do that. Now, for me, I've found that YouTube, I have found, is the best way to do that. And you can get like YouTube and then YouTube Music either way. But what you do is you can get your algorithm in such a way to where you will start getting a lot of good music just by opening a couple doors. And so what you got to do is, you know, you need to go back. Like if you're an old school 80s hip hop head, try to remember as many songs as you can. Create a playlist, start listening to them. Then what you'll start seeing is you'll start seeing suggestions. You'll start seeing, when you pop into YouTube, random songs. And then what'll happen is all that stuff that you remembered as a kid, all them dope ass songs that you just is right on the tip of your tongue, and you're like, you might be humming that tune. You might even know half the words, you just don't know the song. But you're like, man, that was my jam.
Man.
That's how those algorithms start unlocking, because a lot of those songs start populating just randomly because, you know, of, yeah, what you've listened to. Now, here's the thing. If you listen to a bunch of whack ass shit, your algorithm is going to get, so if you listen to, like, if you, like I said, if you don't put no work into your algorithm, the YouTube just gonna spit out the generic whatever.
No, EPMD, special ed.
Yeah. So what you gotta do is you gotta really go through and see, then you'll start really unlocking stuff to where you'll find, I mean, there's so many underground labels that we could talk about. What we heard was Ghostface. He was featured on a remix from a song by Lady Ray. And she's on Big Crown Records. And that's an independent label. They put out, like we talked about off air, they put out that L. Michaels Affair with Black Thought. Probably I had to kind of remix that. That's probably one of my top five albums. You know, that's a really solid album. It's a little short though. You know what I mean? It's really in that EP range, but still one of the best things you can listen to. But that's how you, I mean, dude, all you're going to get is Lil Durk, whatever, NBA Youngboy, his, you know, 1,000th album that he's put out this year. And then whatever is popular on the little billboard, that's what you're going to get in your algorithm. So you have to dig through. One of the cool things is, too, yeah, I mean, dig through your soul music, because you'll be surprised what you can unlock. You know what I'm saying? You know, go listen to some Harold Melvin and Blue Notes. Strawberry Letter 23 by the Johnson Brothers. I feel like busting loose. You know, go listen to some of that stuff, and then you'll see how, you know, some of your other like suggestions, and you'll be like, oh dang, I remember that when I was really, really little. My parents used to rock to that. And that's how you can open up your algorithms to get to like the better parts of, you know, genres that we like, but we might kind of feel like, man, it's not falling off. We ain't got nothing to listen to. I feel like that with R&B.
Right.
I don't really listen to R&B, current R&B, because it's so nasty. You know, I was like, man, y'all worse than Two Live Crew. It's like, you know, like, I like Chris Brown, but then Chris, man, you too nasty, bro. You know, like, man, like I said, you sang worse than Two Live Crew be rapping. Yeah, yeah. It's like I don't want to hear R&B that's just like that nasty. Like you need to, you know, Jodeci is about as far as I want to take it. You know what I mean? Like Jodeci, some Aaron Hall. I tell you what, Ready for the World. That's about as far as I want you to go. Let me love you down. You know, I don't need you to go past that. You know.
You know,
these guys, they don't leave nothing to the imagination. You know, and it's like, come on, bro. Like, to me, that's, you know, that takes away the romance of the music and stuff. Because, I mean, I listen to R&B because either I want to hear, like, and I don't necessarily say R&B for that, more soul music just for, you know, just upliftment. But when I hear R&B, I'm thinking, like, romantic stuff, smooth. You mean Sade. You know what I mean? You know, not just straight nasty. You know, I'm thinking Luther, Anita Baker, you know what I mean? Patti LaBelle.
Freddie Jackson.
Yeah,
Freddie Jackson.
Yeah. Hell, any of the Jacksons. You know what I'm saying?
Any of them, right. Yes.
Yeah. Now, Janet got a little nasty. You know, Velvet Rope, that's about, you know, that was kind of pushing the envelope a little bit.
But I like that in her though.
Velvet Rope was sensual. It was very sensual. It wasn't just straight, just raw. I mean, it was sensual, very sexy. But Janet was an adult. She was a full blown woman. She wasn't, oh, I just got off the Disney Channel and now I'm gonna show my twat to everybody. You know what I mean? She ain't no Miley Ray Cyrus, like where I just popped off from the Disney Channel, Miss Wholesome. To, you know, now I'm a sex kitten. Yeah, you know I mean, which I never understood, you know, in pop music and in R&B where they do that to these young ladies, where they on these shows where they try to build them up as these all-American girls. And then as soon as they get into a certain age where basically legally won't nobody say nothing or can't say nothing, they all turn into sex kittens. You know what I mean? Like they all turn into little freaks. And why? All right, Docs. So, like I was saying, man, like, why? Why do you think that is? They turn these young girls into sex kittens? You know what I'm saying? Like, as soon as they become a certain legal age, it seems like across any genre. I don't know so much with country because I don't mess with country, but at least in the pop and then the hip-hop stuff or any type of melodic R&B, because, you know, all pop, they just copy an R&B. But why is that?
Sales, and the producers know that you flash some money and some jewelry in front of these young black kids, they're jumping on it for their soul. They're gonna take it. They want that 15 minutes of fame. They don't care what it comes with until after the fact. You know? So, again, like you say, all music, R&B, no matter what it is, it's got to have some cuss words and some nasty language in it. Why? You can't find no other words to put
to articulate.
When you're writing, or when somebody's writing for you, no other words you can find, no other lyrics you can find. In an R&B song, you have to find them lyrics. Okay, I get you.
Yeah, and that's the thing. Yeah,
so that's the new kids things.
Yeah, like I don't understand why R&B and that type of music. Like, when did like being hard? When was that the lane of those cats? You know what I mean? Like, and just being that nasty. Like, come right on, man. You know.
LL Cool J, I Need Love. That what happened to these guys singing like talking like that, rapping like that? What happened to that?
Well, you know, like you said, I guess pushing the envelope, and I think a lot of it is too. Everything is so microwavable, and like you said, sex and violence sells, and so it's all microwavable to the point to where nothing's memorable. And I think that's one of the things that's afflicted 2023. Most of this music is not memorable. There's not a whole lot that's being said by most of these cats that's like makes you to stop and think, really something that's like, you know, like I said, makes you, you know, you want to go back and listen to that as something, like you said, part of your heavy rotation. It's so microwavable, right, that you know, well, somebody's gonna make a song that sounds almost exactly like that, you know, in a week or two.
Exactly, a week or two, a day or an hour.
Yeah,
or two.
And then you got, you know, a lot of these cats that kind of get regional fame because they'll somebody on YouTube or one of these sites that has music, somebody will just put up and say, hey, this is a Future type beat. And then somebody will get on it, rap on it, and then that'll be some little hot regional song. You know?
Right.
So the game is so watered down and it's so saturated. That I think that, like, because there ain't no more, excuse me, there is no more Source magazine, like something that people can really go to that is credible, that you say, like, okay, these guys, you know, are halfway credible, or something that, like, you know what, most of the stuff that they given, whatever critique, most of the fans is feeling that as well. Like, you know, it's like, yeah, that's about right. You know what I mean? Like, you may argue a little bit, like a 4.5 instead of a 5 or 4.5 instead of a 4. But most times, like most of those ratings from like the Source and even like a lot of times Double XL back in the day or Triple XL, it wasn't like they was just so off the point, like where it was just like, okay, right, they just totally missed the boat. You know, now it seems like because so much cash is in play as far as like, you know, there's always an ulterior motive. And that's what I felt like. And I don't want to say, like, and I really don't know that Nas them really was like paying cats. But if you look at the reviews, like on that album, all the reviews kind of line up with mine. Although there are not a lot of reviews. And that's something that's also weird, that even though for Nas, because, you know, music, especially rap music, I think like he did like 17,000 or something. And that was supposed to be good, you know, because in this day and age, like first week, that's a good number or whatever. But because that means people actually bought the album versus just, you know, people don't buy albums that much no more. So that's solid. People actually bought it. But still, man, it's like there wasn't no reviews. Now, everybody was hyping it up, like all the Rolling Stone, you know, all these different outlets for music was hyping the Magic 2, but nobody reviewed it. It was like, I think maybe Pitchfork, and then there were some YouTube reviewers, you know, but there was no like actual magazines that have internet outlets and stuff, you know. Now they'll review the shit out of Kendrick Lamar and J. Cole and all the popular, but they, you know, and that's another thing.
The major ones,
yeah. And that, you see, that's another thing. That's the reason why now, because of so much, you really got to do your own. You got to dig on your own. You know what I'm saying? Now, without further ado, man, because I think we beat that one as far as we can beat it. And what did Cameron and them say? Pause. We want to say pause on that. We want to say pause on that one. Like Cameron and Mason say, we're going to steal that from them on that one. We're going to say pause. Okay. Now, Let's get into. I know you've been wanting to talk. You want to cue it up? We're gonna talk about the Montgomery, Alabama, Doc throwdown.
I'm black and I'm proud.
Okay, Doc, give us the play-by-play. What did you see? And you know, as a brother, from your perspective, speak on it. I'm just gonna shut up. You speak on it,
Brother Red. Okay, give me a few minutes on this one. We've seen a lot of. Over the years and decades, a lot of black folks and white folks interaction, and it's always when there's a fight, the black folks either walk past while the white and black person are fighting or they're getting jumped. And we really haven't seen a lot of black camaraderie when it comes to black and white fighting outside outside the penitentiary. You don't really see a lot of fights like that. And when you do, they walk past, or they make an excuse why they didn't jump in. Make sense? You know what I mean?
I can see where you're going there a little bit as far as, like, usually, like, now, it's more like, you know, it's almost like, well, I don't know that their brothers will let another brother get jumped if they're fighting, like, a bunch of white dudes or whatever, and they're getting, like, one guy's getting jumped or whatever. But typically, yeah, if it's just like a black dude and a white dude, now there have been occasions I have seen, like, you know, we got to remember, and you remember this incident, you remember the Boys in the Hood incident at Biscayne Mall, and I'm not going to say the name, because I know the two cats, the white dudes that got jumped, they're actually good, like, they don't bother no man, those guys just play football. But you remember there was two cats who got jumped on because they wanted to go see Boys in the Hood, it was some white boys. And it was like the Saturday right. night that the movie had premiered, because it premiered like Friday. And they made the mistake to go to like the 7 o'clock movie. They should have hit the matinee early. Yeah, they hit that yes. 7 o'clock, and really, and the damn movie said increase the fucking peace at the end of it. And brothers right. was That's so mad that they actually jumped those cats at the McDonald's right there at the Biscayne Mall. And I thought that was bullshit. I gotta say, man, that, like them dudes. They just want to see the movie, man. I know both those cats. Man, them dudes just play football, man. They're not like that at all. Yeah, you know I mean, like they right. don't have nothing to do with no racial nothing. They, you know, they went to school. They didn't even go. That was like one of them. Because I know I was in grade one of them. I went to school with. He was in my grade. The other one was a grade older than me. We played football together at Hickman. And one of them got a scholarship to play football in college, you know, the one that's my age. And, yeah, man, like, them dudes went to, I don't know if you remember that Christian school out there off of Stewart Road, the Christian Academy or whatever. It was like a little private little Christian school, yeah. You know what I'm saying? And so that school went all the way up to junior high, up to ninth grade, but they couldn't do, like, high school credits. So it's just like Columbia Catholic. You remember a lot of kids at Columbia Catholic? They would come to Jeff or West or Oakland because, you know, they only go up to ninth grade because they didn't get their high school credit. So, yeah, man, them dudes wasn't even on that type of time, dude. Like, they, you know what I'm saying? Like, they wasn't, you know, trying to cause no problems. And they got jumped and beat on pretty bad by brothers, you know what I mean? And that wasn't cool.
But this was different, though. Brother Red, this was totally different.
Well, dude, that was, to me, those guys, you know, but that wasn't not cool, though. I mean, any type of way you see, like, racially charged shit, where, you know, it's obvious this is some racial shit, man, that's not cool. Now, this does happen to be white and black. Do you think that those white people were racist? Like, do you think it was, you know, let's just say that, that black guy got jumped on, the older black man. Do you think if he was a white dude that those folks would have jumped on him like that?
No. They would have moved their pontoon boat.
Even though they're
and
drunk?
Everybody been saying kumbaya.
Even though that they were drunk?
I don't care. They're still a white man. They're not going to jump on their own fellow
and
white
only,
man.
The only reason why I'm doing this, Docs, is I'm playing devil's advocate only because you know that's what
they're
going
to do. I know
what
you're doing.
Yeah.
Because
you know, what the other thing they're going to say is, well, what about the people on the thing, on the boat, chanting, move, bitch, get out. What about those people inciting and getting those other people even more angry? You know, that's the type of stuff you know we're going to hear. What, like, how do you answer that?
Okay. Well, it's simple. If that pontoon boat wasn't there, and if y'all didn't think y'all had white privilege, everything never would have happened. But a worker's telling you to move your boat. The river boat's coming in the dock. Why not move your boat, sir? What's so? Who are you to where you can come yell at me, tell me you're not going to move your boat when the people that paid their money to do their riverboat thing and now trying to dock, they can't dock. So now the boat's just going to sit in the water and spin around.
Now,
that's not cool.
Now, I have a question. Now, this is one thing that honestly I haven't heard anyone say, and I don't know if anyone has actually gotten. I did see where Aquaman has come out. And he's broken his silence. And big shout out to Aquaman, young man. I don't know if Chair King or the Bama Blaze. I don't know if Bama Blaze,
yeah,
or Chair King. I don't know if they did any interviews or anything yet. But has anyone, or even that dock captain, were there any racial epithets that? Rowdy group, who they deserve to get their ass whooped. Make no mistake. Now, did they say any racial epithets to this brother? Like, do we know that they said it? Because you know how it is. They're gonna pull everything out their booty to try to make it like, oh, those brothers shouldn't have did that. You know what I'm saying? We know this, so that's what I'm saying. We want to eliminate all. We want to shut all them arguments down. So, like, have we heard any of that? Like, have we heard that there have been any racial epithets?
I haven't. I haven't, Brother Red. I just seen what everybody's seen from the video.
Right. And see, and that's one thing that I have learned just through trial and error is, instead of wanting to be first on everything, I think we did a good job of kind of letting stuff filter through for several days, but unless it's like a sporting event where we saw it right then and there, where we can just give a live reaction. But like in societal stuff, it's usually better to let it wait even a couple weeks to get as much true information as you can. You know what I mean? Because now, like I said, just from based off of everything that we've seen, and I mean, I don't care if it had been white on white. Like if it had been, you know what? Them dudes jumped that white dude, and then there was a bunch of white boys or whatever that maybe they were the people in the dock themselves waiting to get on. They were like, man, F that, man. And they came to the aid. I would applaud them. You know what I mean? I'd be like, yeah, that's good. Same thing if it was black on black in that situation, which I hate to see it, but same situation. If something like that had to happen where they just jumping on an old dude, and then you see some good brothers like, nah, you ain't gonna be jumping on no old heads like that. You know, again,
right.
I would applaud. And I think that's one thing university, I think, strikes everyone is, man, you guys jumped on an old brother. It's just an old person in general. What do you think about that?
Yeah, doing his job.
Yeah, yeah. What do you think about that? Like, also, because it seems like at least about 70 to 80% of at least the social media stuff that we've seen from whatever race is all pro the brothers. You know what I'm saying?
Yes, because why did y'all jump that poor man for? That's just the only, that's where I get mad. Why are you jumping? It was a one-on-one fight. Your friend was getting beat up. Let him get beat up. He instigated the fight. Take your one-on-one ass whooping from your older black brother. Get back on your pontoon boat and continue partying.
Yeah, move your boat and, you know, and drink it off. Exactly. Ain't nobody saying you can't continue partying. Just move your boat out the way.
That's it. I'm doing my job.
All right. So now that was the Alabama dock fight. It'll be interesting
to see.
I'm black and I'm proud,
Brother Red. I'm black and I'm proud.
Absolutely. Absolutely, you know, and like I said, I definitely want to commend those guys who didn't hesitate when they saw it. They went in to go help. Now, one thing that I haven't seen no one really applaud. And I'm going to applaud this brother because he did try to go peaceful first. But then once it was like, oh, these guys don't want to be peaceful, all the other brothers are like, okay. Because you remember the one brother in the black shirt that came in? He was trying to break everything. Yeah. He was trying to, like, do right. Like, hey, come on now. And, you know, he was just trying to protect the brother, like, you know, get off of him. He wasn't trying to fight or sweet, just get off of him, you know? And then, I don't know, man, at that point, I think brothers was like, hey, he can't handle it. Like, you know, they still trying to beat this guy up. And that's when you just saw the rescue.
But I want everybody to understand, Aquaman, do you know he was not in the film footage? You know how far that brother swim, but that's not the.
And we don't like to swim. Brothers don't swim.
He pulled himself up out the water. You know how strong you have to be to fight a river and then pull yourself up. I ain't worrying about he knocked nobody out. The fact that that brother
went
all the way across
to go help
and pulled himself up out that water. Hey man, that any college he wants to go to. He need to get scholarship. That's a bad. He got wind, and he's strong as hell. I don't think people realize where he came from out the frame, Brother Red. He came
Aquaman,
from out the frame.
Aquaman came through. Aquaman came through.
He came through the frame.
And you heard the sisters. Go get him, Young Buck. Go ahead, Young Buck.
Brother Red, he pulled himself up. Out after swimming a 200 breaststroke, he had enough wind and strength to pull himself up.
Aquaman.
You know how strong that brother is? That brother's strong. Yes, all of that.
We got to give it up to Aquaman. We appreciate you, Aquaman. Chair King, we appreciate you too. You came through.
I'm sitting in a chair right now just like it. Everywhere I go from this point forward, I'm taking me a lawn chair, a folding chair with me, wherever I go.
Yeah,
I'm wearing a ball cap, and I'm keeping a chair in my car.
Oh, we got to give big up props to the Chair King. Chair King did his thing. He came through. Chair King came through. You know, and then the Bama Blaze. How far did the Bama Blaze run through to come help out?
Hey, he came up. Flash came from out. Him and Aquaman came out of nowhere. They must have seen that hat go up from every cotton field in Alabama.
Oh yeah,
every black brother.
That was a signal.
Field.
You know what? Somebody needs to do a silhouette of that brother throwing that hat up. Like that needs to be like the
that
new silhouette. Like you know what? If brother, just put it in your yard. Like you know, hey, you see that? Then you know, hey, brothers,
you see that?
You know,
mount up, regulator.
He threw it up there. That's what it looked like. He just threw it up. He's like, if it's up, then it's up. He threw it up.
He threw that hat
threw
up.
It up.
Regulators mount it up.
Yeah, it
they
was
came from out of.
Cause he was like, oh, it's like that. Fuck it.
And none of them had shirts on. That's like everybody was in the cotton field, butt naked, and just ran through the cotton field to whoop some ass.
When he threw that hat up, man. That was like a call to arms. He threw that. It was,
mount
like,
up.
You know, it was, yeah, it was just like, hey, like
they
he just knew. It's like he just knew. I know some brothers gonna help me. If I throw this up, I know somebody gonna come through. It's on, you know, but somebody coming.
Hey,
and they came through.
And I know today, all of them white folks is feeling the effects of that thorough beat down. Ass whooping they took.
Well, some of them, I guess, have said, like, yeah, you know, like, I guess there was one lady that was like, yeah, you know, we just had too much to drink. But she acknowledged, like, you know, that was something that we had coming. Because, you know, I think that's the thing is people are on their head because not only one, it just seems like it's racial. And that's the thing is if you can get some type of audio proof, because, you know, folks don't want to just jump to the, oh, just whites. You know, they could have just, they were drunk. They might have jumped on. A white dude or a Mexican dude, whoever, Chinese dude, like they was drunk as hell, you know, but it did appear just by the footage, but it was good to see the solidarity. That was the thing that I took from it was brothers. Yeah, that was the thing is the solidarity. Now, here's the other thing about it, though, is brothers, is we got to make sure we keep that same energy for ourselves when we see that shit happen, when we be doing that to ourselves and we don't check ourselves.
We
got to
keep that same energy for the for our queens. When we see our queens getting,
but when you see cats getting jumped, like a situation like that, you know what I mean? Because every situation is different.
Oh, yes.
You know, you never know. It could be somebody getting jumped on because they initiated something before and now that person getting get back. But when it's something like that, where it's clear, like, hey, man, that's not cool. You know what I mean? Brothers, we need to be doing the same thing as for self-regulation. Like, nah, bro, you're not putting your hands on old people, women, children. Even like another defensive brother you fighting like that with y'all. Hey, man, line it up. If all y'all want to bang with him, line it up. And he can freaking squad with all of you.
Right.
You know what I mean? Line it up. You know what I mean? Just line it up. And everybody can get their fair one and do it like that. You know what I mean? Be a man about it.
That's it.
You know what I mean? Just be a man about it. But all that jumping on people, man, that to me, I've always felt like that was just weak. You know what I mean? Like, that's just, you know.
It is weak.
Yeah, jumping on somebody like that. Now, I get it. If Docs got jumped somewhere, you know, and then you happen to be with some of your people and you see one of the cats that you know, like, hey, that dude was part of, you know, hey, all's fair in love and war or stuff like that. I got no issue with that. If that's how you want to handle your get back, hey, I get it. You got jumped. Hey, at that point, all bets are off. But if it's just some shit, and we know we've seen that a lot, where cats just get jumped because the dude who wants to really fight can't whoop the other dude. So they go get all their homeboys to go jump on him because they don't want to, you know, square up. And to me, that's just weak. Yep. If you that mad and you want to beat somebody up that bad where it comes to that, take it for what it is, man. Win, lose, or draw. You can always come back the next day. If you don't like the outcome, let them know. Every time I see you, we just going to have to get them up.
Just get them up. Period. Yeah.
But all that jumping people, man, that's not. I just always felt like that was weak. And I hate that we do that to ourselves. Facts. You know what I mean? I hate that's one thing. I just absolutely hate that we do that to ourselves.
Yeah. 100%.
All right. Well, Docs, we up against the break. So I'm going to go ahead. We're going to go ahead and take a quick break for our sponsor. And that's going to be Ballsology, our man Stephen Thor in Columbia, Missouri. So anybody, if you want to go ahead and get your beard game official, make sure that you check out Ballsology. They got everything you need to have your beard tight for the weekend.